Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome to it, folks. It's game week. This is Old School, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. I'm Austin Norman. Telling more about the Mercado, Jay Foreman.
What up? What up?
How we doing?
It's all good in the hood.
Especially because I know you hit the Mercado this weekend.
I did. It was on and popping, man. Got me some pork chops.
Woo! Mm-hmm. You a fruit and pork guy? No, that's a common occurrence. Pork and applesauce.
I put my own. I make my own rub. My own barbecue sauce, did that up a little bit. Mm. Yeah, it was all good.
Mm.
Yeah.
Jay.
What's up, man?
3 days. 3 days and 3 hours.
Yeah, man.
That's kickoff.
No, it's 3 days and 5 hours. It starts at 8.
Oh, it is only 3. I saw the 5. 3 days and 5 hours. My math ain't mathing. 3 days and 5 hours. My bad. Feels like it should be 3 hours. I'm just so antsy. So ready to get there.
Hey. I mean, it's, you know, look, man, I said it on Inside the Huddle Sunday mornings, 8 to 9 a.m. We need more people to start listening, and we got to start podcasting. But I football is one of the sports, is the only sport. You have to love football.
You can't love football.
If you can't fake football. You can't just like football. You can't sometimes football. I'm not saying that you can do that in any other sport, but you get so many chances. Now the best teams generally take every game, you know, as it should be. It's you know, you got to show up with the intention to win and prepare and all that stuff. Whereas football, you know, you practice and prepare 95% of the year. Or let's just say it's 3 months really, generally, right? So 75% of the time, you practice, prepare, and sacrifice everything to play 75% or 25% of the time. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's the best sport out there. You have to give yourself to the team to get individual accolades. It can't go the other way around. There's not, you know, and so now obviously there's a lot of excitement going into this season, whether it's year 3 or year 10. You know, the schedule sets up pretty favorably as long as they handle, you know, as long as Nebraska is able to handle their business, but it's not going to be easy and it's got to be one game at a time. It's the same thing. I would have said the same thing, while we were playing in 1995, it's a book with 12 single chapters, and you're trying to get to, you know, extra chapters. And then you want to have the ultimate, you know, I guess, climax and ending, and that's being a national champion. And so you can't get to the ending until you start writing favorable chapters and getting good reviews.
You cannot. 3 days and, as Jay said, 5 hours away from kickoff for Nebraska and Cincinnati. Lots to get to as we continue to talk about the Huskers and their preparation for the Bearcats. First, Jay, let's talk about Husker volleyball, though. Dominating Pitt, dominating Stanford in a sweep of the Cardinal. Few people know as well or better than you what it's like to come into a season with those expectations. Face a big-time opponent to lead off the year and leave no doubt who the clear best team in the country was. I mean, Nebraska won 6 out of 7 sets they played this weekend, looked every bit the part of number one. Talk about how impressive that is for a team that's been together for quite a while, but with a new head coach coming in to start the season off by setting the tone like that.
Yeah, well, I think it's impressive, you know, in all facets, in the sense of, you know, the expectations are just the emotions, you know, coming off of last year, how they lost, you know, needed, you know, 1 point, and then obviously, you know, the rest is history. John Cook retires, you know, then there's the angst of will Nebraska, you know, be over, and you get a new coach in there, and Danny, and you just are able to reset the standard. I think what you saw this weekend wasn't meeting expectations, was verifying and maybe, or verifying and validating the standard. The expectations is, you know, we got five cars out there out here on Oak Street, and we're live at 1040 Oak Street. So if you want to stop into the mill, get you some, I don't drink coffee, you can get some tea, you know, finish out your day. But in all five of those cars that are listening, they all have different views on what the volleyball team in this case, you know, might be. Those are expectations. All of them are very high. The standard is how those young ladies went to practice, went back to work after the hoopla of hiring, you know, Coach Danny, and then getting back to work and understanding the main thing is the main thing. They really just showed, was it probably 16,000 people? Give or take.
Yeah.
They showed everybody in PBA how they go about their business and practice every day. That's all you do when you play these games. Mm. That's all you do. Now, it's a great start, and I think it really sets up really well for this team and Coach Danny, is that, you know, when you come off and you have two really good opponents right from the get-go, you don't have to worry about not having their attention in practice and in off-season training. They know exactly who they're playing. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't take it serious, you couldn't get, you know, face embarrassment. But then also, it's an easy way to remind them how they ended the season and where we're going this season. And these first two opponents are in the way, and you got to mow them down. And that's exactly what they did.
I'm glad that's where you went with it, because that was going to be the next line of questioning that I had, was you beat Washington, then you got to turn around and pay attention to Pacific.
Yeah.
Or UCF. It would be really easy, I think, for a lot of teams across the country to let their attention slip. Oh, we handled Pitt. Oh, we handled Stanford. We'll be able to lock back in when the time comes. But Jay, I'm sure you've seen it. Saying you'll lock back in when the time comes is probably a whole lot harder to actually pull off than just staying locked in. More dangerous that way too.
Yeah, and that's the hardest thing to do, is come off that high, refocus, you know, maybe get some constructive criticism, and have the same intent and intensity as you prepare, in this case, in our case, was Pacific. You know who you are and who they are, but there's a bigger purpose when you play those games, right? You don't want to show any chink in your armor. You want to show it. You just like a faceless opponent. Stanford or like Washington, Pacific. That's it. You're getting the same treatment. This is not conditional. Every like I said, I'm the can. Anybody can get it. That's the way it's got to be. And so, I think when that mentality is there, then it really becomes fun, because it's not a matter of if, it's just when. Now you got to build up to this, right? And you got to answer some of the, you know, you got to answer the bell when it needs to be rung the loudest. But you know, this is a part of the season. This is part of coming to Nebraska, to play in atmospheres and weekends like that. Mm. You know, and it's part of a while, you know, you're able to go recruit and I guess transfer portal at the clip that Nebraska volleyball has been able to do for the last, what, five, six, probably even longer.
I mean, probably 15 years.
Yeah, probably. But I'm just talking about the new portal. Mm. And so really, really, you know, cementing themselves. And now they got to get back to work whenever they do get back to practice.
Then the task becomes, like you said, keeping your foot on the gas. And when they face adversity, make sure you stand up underneath it. Yeah. Right? Don't let it crush you, because, again, you go back to 97 Missouri, right? I mean, that was adversity. Nebraska's going to lose another set this year.
Yeah.
I feel pretty confident in saying that. Maybe they don't lose a game. Maybe they do. But for as easy as they made this weekend look, it wasn't, right? I mean, the games against Pitt were close. Nebraska really only dominated, you know, one set in terms of the final score. Stanford, maybe a little bit of a different story, but this is something you didn't really have to deal with in football, Jay, and really the entire sport of college football didn't have to deal with that other sports have, is just because you beat teams of this caliber the first weekend, that's great, you did it. You made a statement. But then, you know what? Come December, if you have one of these teams in your side of the bracket in the NCAA tournament, guess what? They're going to be heated about how things went down the first time. You guys only saw teams once. Volleyball has a chance to see conference opponents a couple times. They'll get Penn State twice. Then who knows what the NCAA tournament holds, not resting on their laurels. Oh, yeah, this is easy for us. We're just going to sleepwalk for the next 35 games or whatever. Making sure to stay locked in, keep that same competitiveness, because as good as this program is at being the hunted, they have to find some way to be the hunter as well.
Yeah, well, the biggest that you got to hunt the moment, and you got to prepare for it. You got to really chase a ghost that you will never catch. Mm. That's how you stay on top. And yeah, the teams can get better. And you know, the Pitt, you know, game was pretty competitive. So there's things to take away from that and to try to be more dominant if you play them again or a team like Pitt again. Or mm-hmm. just that's how you go back to practice and say, okay, you know, we have to get to the point where we are dominant against any opponent, any time, any place, anywhere. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you do that because, one, they have obviously the depth work. I'm sure practices are...
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
As competitive as the majority of the games they're going to play throughout the season. But you also have to make sure that what the understanding is right now was good. Okay. It's almost like that, you know, Nick Saban talked about, you know, if you want to feel good for, you know, a moment, have some ice cream. If you want to feel good for a couple of days, have a steak and all that other stuff. So mm-hmm. now you got to really get past the ice cream moment and, you know, restart and reset, because you want to be able to play different ways against different opponents in different times of the year, and that's what you're doing. You're trying,
but keeping your same principles.
Keeping it, the foundation ain't going to change, mm-hmm. but you
the cosmetics might.
But you want to be portable. You want to have players ready to go. Somebody might be off, or they're you know where they're going through, I guess, a slump. Well, somebody else has to step in. Then the original starter will come back and obviously play up to their capabilities. You build a team that way, and you're going to need everybody, every, I don't know how many they have, you know, as far as the roster, let's just say 18 young ladies, they're going to need all of them mm-hmm. to win this thing. But you can't think about the end until you deal with right now. They're still forming their team. It's a great start. There's no, mm-hmm. we're not going to minimize it. But my thing is, we could play even better. We can dominate. You need to push to dominate. I mean, when you think about, like, I'm trying to spike that ball through your head. Not just this time.
Harper Murray did attempt that a couple times this weekend.
But I'm going to try to get it the next time. Because I want to punch this thing dead in your face.
You're going
to
feel me.
Yeah. Because here's what, say you play Pitt again. Pitt, you know, they go back and make some adjustments. They look at the game and all that. Well, they still have the doubt, though. Mm-hmm. Stanford still has the doubt. So you got to bring that doubt out in them. And then when you get the chance to pounce on them, you got to pounce on them.
That's the lack of pouncing that did Nebraska volleyball in last year. Huskers certainly pounced in the opening weekend of the AVCA first serve showcase down here. Jay also pouncing Avery Johnson's dad on his brother. Man, that was a good game up there in Dublin. But holy cow, we got fathers and sons fighting? What do we think
that happens led to that, time, man? It's family on family. You know, it's emotions. You know, you get over there. Guinness is strong. They serve alcohol. I don't know what happened. You know, that's family business, and it's unfortunate because he's the quarterback, and, you know, he actually played a lot better than I kind of thought he would, and he was a rather coming out party for him. And obviously in a loss, obviously he would have took the win or the stats and a win, you know, more than anything. And then I'm sure they're going to protect him from having to make a statement about that. But again, it's still, you know, it's your family. I mean, look, it's your dad and your brother getting into a little family scrap. And that's the thing that everybody came away from the game about. But it's unfortunate. You know, it's just unfortunate. But I think it'll go away. He's just got to continue to play well. But it's unfortunate for him. And then it's a longer flight home. Mm-hmm. Knowing you probably made aware of what happened outside the stadium, And that's a long flight home back to Manhattan, Kansas, knowing that you lost. And then obviously you got some family drama that you got to potentially deal with or be a part of.
Technically, an upset is it's number 22 Iowa State taking down number 17 Kansas State. Not the the beautiful game necessarily between these two. 32 combined first downs, a combined 8 of 27 on third downs. Kansas State only 1 of 4 on fourth down, while Iowa State goes 3 for 3. Wildcats roll up 70 more yards of total offense. They hold the Cyclones to just 313 yards, but Iowa State capitalizes on a couple of short fields to win at 24-21. An early shaper in the Big 12 race there, Jay. I picked Kansas State to win this one. I thought Iowa State lost a little bit too much. Shout out the Cyclones. Credit to them. They grinded through it. They found a way to win this one. Now it's one game. They're in the driver's seat, if you will, for the Big 12 very early on. But I think Iowa State, regardless of what your main takeaways are, they still look the part of a contender, right? Last year wasn't a fluke for Matt Campbell. This looks like another, you know, 8-plus win team. And then the flip side of that for Kansas State, you let an opportunity slip through your fingers, but I think I'm with you. You feel pretty good about Avery Johnson having taken a step up from last year.
Yeah, some of the things that I felt like I felt like last year was a little bit too much hype, you know, and obviously compared to Will Howard, obviously what he was able to do, but you know, the improvement in the offseason is there. Now, obviously, it's one game, but he looks like the quarterback that everybody thought he was going to be a couple years ago. And you're right. I thought, you know, look, Iowa State lost 4 early draft picks. That's a lot to lose. Any team. Especially for Iowa State. Mm-hmm. But they had guys in the wings, and Matt Campbell said, look, it's a staff that's been together for a while, so you're able to, you know, weather some storms. And the yards, you know, really doesn't matter because the only thing that matters is they were able to win and pull it off by 3 points. And both teams know each other. They respect each other. Never expect a blowout. A little bit sloppy, obviously, his first game. And then it's definitely a neutral site.
And rainy.
And so that just brings in a whole, list of factors that normally doesn't allow teams to play up to their best. But, look, when you look at Kansas State, it felt like they improved their pass rush, right? They were able to get 4 sacks. They were able to kind of, you know, minimize the damage that, you know, Rocco Beck could do through the air, which you expected. And that's where Iowa State could be dangerous, mm-hmm. in the sense of if, you know, and I'm big in role definition and role clarity, who becomes that number one and number two option for him will let this team go back to potentially the Big 12 championship. Now, on the flip side, it's the little things for Kansas State. You're thinking, okay, all right, we didn't really get off Dylan Edwards like we should, right? We got to find a way to, because he's a problem.
Mm-hmm. They get banged up.
But use him a little bit better to where he doesn't get banged up, and obviously the fumble cost, but you like the efficiency in offense from Avery Johnson.
Yeah.
That's not what you had before. And you like his ability to, you know, kind of create some space with running as well. You had 2 receivers, you know, set, or the 3 over 60 yards. So you feel like you're offensively, you're good. Defensively, you felt like you did okay enough that you really got to a quarterback 4 times. Obviously, Rocco Beck isn't fleet of foot as Johnson. Mm-hmm. Now you got to get the continuity of all 3 phases, right? Mm-hmm. Clock management, situational football. And this isn't a time to panic. You know, when you go over there and you got 2 teams that are both ranked the same, 17 and 22, you're the same two teams, just mm-hmm. a couple of riders that like one more than the other. One team's going to be happy with the outcome, one team's not. This is not a time to panic because the game was highly competitive, even though sloppy. Versus like last year, Florida State came in heavily favored, heavily talented, better than Georgia Tech, mm-hmm. and they got obliterated.
It wasn't an upset.
No, that game was, it's kind of like one of those like prize fights. You have the person you assume that would win. It was kind of like Mike Tyson, Buster Douglas. Well, he's around in like round 6. It's going 12.
Watch out.
And obviously Georgia Tech was able to pull it off. But yeah, it's interesting to see how these 2 teams go for the rest of the season because there's a lot to be had. I think the Big 12 is up for grabs, and they were probably thinking, both teams were thinking, if we can grab this, it's actually 2 games. Mm-hmm. And so now one team is like, all right, now we got some ground to make up. Can't panic because you got to really get into what you did well, what you didn't do well, and then obviously take it with a grain of salt because you knew it was a neutral site game with some outside factors.
really good day for the Kansas Jayhawks. Obviously, they beat Fresno State 31-7. They watched their bitter in-state rival have their dad's quarterback's dad get into a fight and lose to Iowa State. But 31-7, Jayhawks end up taking down Fresno State. Jalen Daniels is a trooper, Jay. He's a warrior. Been around the game of college football for a while. He really balled out. I mean, two touchdowns to Pickett on 77 yards for him. Pretty darn good day for the Kansas Jayhawks. They tie Iowa State at 1-0, but just not in a conference game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, anytime Kansas State loses, it's a win for Kansas. And I think Kansas was pretty impressive. I felt like they didn't play up to maybe the standard that they normally had played to, you know, in years past. And there was a little bit of, you know, just an odd year. Right. You know, Daniels hurt and then they kind of lost their way. Then they beat Colorado and then they dookie down their leg again. And And so I think they really went back to the drawing board and they looked pretty impressive against Fresno State. It was a dominating performance. The game was over at halftime. But the ability for Kansas to look pretty impressive, I think I was very impressed by them. I thought the game, just based on how they ended last year and how Fresno, I would assume, would be on the uptick, that it would be a closer game. Kansas came out and manhandled them pretty dang good. So they should be, you know, pretty happy with themselves and then also Kansas State losing.
Other high major game was an upset on the islands. Hawaii takes down Stanford 23-20. I feel kind of bad for my guys, Frank Reich and Andrew Luck, their first game in charge of the Stanford Cardinal. Might be a long year out there in Palo Alto, Jay. I mean, this was a game that, yes, Hawaii was favored. They got the home field goal essentially to be 2.5-point favorites. Stanford had the ball 5-6 minutes to go. Quarterback throws an interception, and Hawaii gets their walk-on kicker from Japan, who taught himself to kick from YouTube videos to kick the game-winning field goal. Cool story for Hawaii. I'm just bummed for my my ex-Colts.
Man, I watched that game. It was probably – this was the game of the weekend. This is the most fun game to watch. I thought Stanford was back to when Jim Harbaugh was there. They punched Hawaii in the face. And I thought, and this is, it was crazy, is that every team, I guess, player, you know, they're you know, when your Stanford comes out like they did, and even though the game, you know, Stanford was losing, you know, at halftime, they were winning physically in that last touchdown when they just essentially just drove it down, power, gap, counter. I mean, it looked like Toby Gerhardt was back there. And there was a breaking point, and you thought Hawaii was broken. And guys start getting, you know, hurt. But that quarterback for Hawaii,
Alejado,
had, you talking about some guts? Woo. I mean, he definitely probably had a high ankle sprain. To answer the bell, 27-39, kept him in the game. You know, made an off schedule. He tucked it and ran, got a first down. He inspired, you know, the Hawaii team, the Rainbow Warriors, to win. And then obviously the kicker with the walk-off, you know, win. You know, that's, if there's ever a positive out of social media, you know, and this is it, is that he wanted to be a kicker. He saw it on a, like a late night, you know, late night replay of a game. He wanted to be a kicker. They obviously didn't have any kicking schools or teams available to him. He gets on YouTube and teaches himself how to kick. That, I mean, you talk about some, you know, self-reliance and old school mentality of really getting it out of the mud. That's, I mean, he's done that. And then big shout out to Hawaii. They took a shot on him and it's paid off. And the confidence that he had, I don't know if he was so confident that he didn't know whether to be nervous or not. but you know, they kind of iced him. And and also the funny thing about it, the commentators were saying Stanford needs to call timeout. Frank Reich didn't think that he could make it. But when they scanned over to that sideline, there was no doubt.
No.
And it was a good game. I think it was a very competitive game. The one thing that's a little bit worrisome about Stanford is they're fit. I think they're trying to be physical on the offensive line, so I think that will probably lessen the athletic, you know, gap when they go on the road to different teams. Defensively, looked a step slow. And consistently missing a lot of tackles on easy kind of layups. And so that just comes now they got to go back to the drawing board. I think the one thing that really sometimes works against a team like Stanford that wants to be line up, punch you in the face, is that you're going to play teams that primarily play like Hawaii, spread you out and all that. Well, you can't practice that.
Right.
Because you don't, number one.
It's not what you do.
Not what you do. And then you don't have people that aren't playing that's capable of doing it.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so, and then they don't have a huge roster and then obviously the depth in there. So they're going to struggle a little bit of that identity of who they want to be, but then who they have to be because they're in a different conference now than they were when Andrew Luck. But I like Andrew Luck and Frank Reich, especially for this year. We'll see what happens in the future.
Stanford goes to BYU in a week or so. They will take on BYU late night.
Who did their scheduling?
Then Boston College at Virginia, San Jose State. Not going to be easy for Stanford. Certainly not early on.
And usually you would circle San Jose State as a get right.
San Jose's better this year.
I know.
They're pretty solid.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
And then you always worry about Boston College. Because they're going to match physicality with physicality. They're probably a little bit more tightened up than you.
Year two versus interim.
And then you know when you're going to be. You already know what's happening up there. You already know what's up.
You already know.
Yeah.
We're going to go to break. We'll get Brian Munson of Husker Online on the horn to talk some Husker football recruiting. We'll keep talking some college football. Of course, plenty of Husker headlines. Heard from Dana Holgorsen and John Butler earlier today. All that ahead during Old School.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back in. It is Old School here on The Ticket. We're headed to our Aloe Fiber VIP line where we are joined by Brian Munson of Husker Online. Brian, first and foremost, happy Nebraska football game week, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. It is. It's I got to watch Nebraska from the high school stands because the kiddo plays at the same time as the Huskers do, and then I head on down to San Marcos, Texas on Saturday to watch Eastern Michigan play Texas State. So football is here, and we're excited.
What does the high school schedule look like for your son? What's on the docket for him?
Well, he failed to make the cut for varsity to start out with, so he is a starting left tackle for the JV A team, but also does like the long snapping and the short snapping for the special teams. But no, it's a little bit different than the varsity schedule. They got a couple different opponents, and I'm not sure why that is because usually it's just like, well, okay, if it's home, you know, here against this opponent, then you're home that the night before for JV, and it's just kind of the same schedule, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a couple that are flipped, and there's a couple that are different. But they got a good team. They got a really good team for JV. I think it's going to be a fun season to watch him play. And I don't know how many times they're going to punt, but I guess he's going to be ready to long snap whenever they have an opportunity. So I think that they're not planning on doing that very often. So it's going to be – it'll be fun, but it's still hot. It's very hot. Not looking forward to sitting out there on Thursday night.
Well, I'm about to say something I need to just let you know, but I'm sorry in advance. It is a perfect 74 degrees with like a light, 5-mile-an-hour breeze up here. It was hot for a while, but it rained over the weekend. The temperatures have stayed down. Brian, I'm sorry. It is perfect weather, so please jet up to Lincoln if you want to enjoy that.
What's this word rain that you talk about? I can't remember the last time we saw rain down here. I've been watering the yard so much. But, no, that sounds amazing. I think 74 is literally what I got the thermostat set at. And it's not even getting down to 74 at night down here. It's staying like 80 degrees, so it's pretty warm right now.
Well, making it rain, you said you were looking at a box score recently and a future Husker target was making it rain some yards and some points. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I put together every week, we're going to start this week, and I'm a couple guys short, otherwise I'd be able to run the article right now. We do a weekly kind of a recruit stat check, and started calling it the box score last week, or last year, and got through Raiola, got through a couple other guys, and then I got to Jamal Rule. And Jamal Rule had a night for his season opener. I want to say that he was close to 190 yards rushing, averaged close to 7 yards a carry, and scored 3 touchdowns. He had another 5 receptions, averaging 17 yards per carry. I mean, he had over 250 yards of total offense and scored 3 touchdowns. Really a big night for him offensively. He's feeling obviously very good about their chances to kind of make a deep run and get into the state championship again this year. So very interesting kind of things going on, because there's a lot of guys that are trying to, you know, like Mpuma and his team are going for like three in a row. And like, I think Leon Noyle's team, they won state last year too. And they're trying to go back to back. A lot of former state champions, you know, that are part of these great programs. And obviously Dayton Riola, they're the number one team in Texas, or number one team in Georgia, excuse me. I believe that on the Rivals on Three rankings, I think that they just came in at like number six or number seven in the nation. He had a solid night on Friday night. It was like 150 yards passing, another 20 yards rushing, two touchdowns and a pick. So they're gearing up. I think it's not this coming, so it might be 2 or 3 weeks down the road, but they got a monster matchup in Buford against a really good 5A team down there. So lots of stuff happening with the commitments. Several players still have not played their first game. I don't think Leon Noyle plays his first game until like September 12th or something like that. So they're off for a while, and a couple of guys will have, you know, 4 or 5 games like under their belt by the time he's taken the field for the first time. So no, it's been fun kind of going through and reconciling all that data, trying to put it all together. And like I said, I'm a few guys short. Once I get that information, I'll be posting that article soon on Husker Online.
Check it out, the box score, Husker Online. On that topic there, Brian, when you talk about the winning that a lot of the guys in Nebraska's 2026 class have done in their careers, how much do coaches look at that stuff, right? I mean, you know, they're looking at individuals, their talents, their skills. But how much do coaches look at the program that these players are coming from and try to identify, you know, the best players that are not just the best players, but the best players on the best teams that come from the best programs?
Sure. It's important. Actually, I quizzed a college coach about that. I'm going to leave the coach, just leave it generic. And I asked him, I said, like, when you go to a high school, like when you're recruiting a dude, you know, like, and you're trying to, like, what are the things, like, that you're thinking about? Like, when you're going into the high school, you're checking things out. I think number one was, like, toughness. It was just like, look, this guy is not going to sit out because, you know, he's got a bruise, you know. But he's not necessarily playing, with a collapsed lung either. But, I mean, he plays hurt, you know. He's a tough kid. And then I think it really was. It was like, look, he's the captain of the number one team, the state champion team, you know, in the state. You know, there was literally like one of those things like that, like popped up like right away. It was like leadership, successful program. I think it really got back to, and what he was trying to say to me was, we're not looking for guys that are complacent, you know, losing, you know, every week. We're looking for high achievers, and those high achievers typically are coming out of those winning programs because they don't know anything else other than to be successful. And they really are looking for those guys because to be successful, you got to put in a lot of hard work. And I think that's kind of like the bigger picture when he was talking to me about his comments. You have to look for those kind of guys in those kinds of programs to say, you know, I'm not telling you that there's not the other ones that don't exist outside of that, but just that's a great place to kind of go start, you know, lift, you know, turn over stones and looking for players is top achieving programs and the top players on that team. You know, start with the captains and work on out from there.
We're talking with Brian Munson of Husker Online here on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. Brian, you've had a chance to talk to obviously a number of recruits over, you know, your careers, but on the Husker front these last couple weeks, a couple in the 27 class, Kyler Kuhn and Xavier Bala. What do you know? What do you hear from those two young men?
So interesting. I mean, Kuhn is the kind of guy that I think he's going to be on that interior offensive line board for Nebraska. You know, I think maybe that the recruiting might not have stayed up to par with some of the other programs, basically, since he was there in June. you know, through the summer, et cetera. But I think Nebraska can reengage that at any time. They're going to get a visit from him. Very good player, very good interior offensive line guy. But he's, you know, he's going to take a number of other trips, you know, this summer. So it's, you got to be competitive. And this is like with the 2027 guys in particular, the fall is so important now because they're having to, you know, you're going to host those guys in June, which doesn't give you a chance basically then to, you know, put them into a game day environment. So you've got to bring them in for a game in their junior year or before that, even for an unofficial visit. And you really want to have several visits, you know, kind of there to kind of build a relationship, you know, and you're doing your due diligence to kind of vet the player, figure out whether or not they kind of check all the boxes for you and your program, what you're kind of looking for in your locker room, in the team room, et cetera. So you got to have a player that's going to be like, hey, came in during the spring of his junior year or sophomore year, came back that fall as a junior. We're going to bring him back for a junior day in January, February, and then we'll probably bring him for like for a spring practice, you know, or a spring game or whatever in April. And then we'll talk about set up an official visit with the guy. That's kind of an ideal scenario. So Kyler's kind of following that, but I think Nebraska needs to kind of step that one up again and, you know, kind of reengage with him a little bit. But Bala's a really interesting guy. Came in Nebraska in June. During the summer camps, got an offer there. This is like straight off of like getting like combine MVP honors for the Under Armour Next series. And then, you know, he's going to take like 7 visits or 8 visits in the fall. And they're the monstrous schools, you know, like Alabama, you know, and he's going to go all around the country, but he'll be in Lincoln. I think it was against Iowa. He'll be there the 29th of November. So that's a really interesting dude. I mean, not really like a hotbed for recruiting. But I mean, showed up in Lincoln this summer and picked up an offer and definitely put him on the map. You know, he's got to be like in the top handful of running backs that Nebraska's really, you know, could be part of Nebraska's 2027 class. Let's just put it that way.
Who are some of those other names that Nebraska's targeting in 2027? For running back?
Well, I mean, you got to start down the road, right? You got to go down to Omaha Central and look at Kylon Haney. Haney to me is kind of an interesting dude because you put his film on, you put like what his workout, you know, routine is and how strong he is. I think he's the kind of guy that, you know, you have to take a real strong look at when it comes to like, you know, being a Big Ten kind of running back. I mean, he's kind of got that bowling ball kind of build, and like I said, he's incredibly strong. Like he puts, I want to say he was repping 225 on bench press, and that's pretty incredible. I think he's about like a 5'10", you know, 200-pound guy. But you know, Noah, like if you were picking like the top of the board, like if you're saying, Brian, who are like top of the board guys like for Nebraska, I think Noah Roberts, probably from Basha High School in Chandler, Arizona, is probably the top of the board for Nebraska. I think Isaiah Rogers is in there somewhere. I think Jeremiah Stonewall is in there too. He's a Chicago guy, so maybe there's a Trey Taylor, you know, kind of connection there a little bit that you would want to work. And then I think, you know, you start getting into Bala and you start getting into Kylon Haney, and you know, I think what's interesting about Kyle, I'll go back to Colin one last time. And I think that this is the part that people kind of got to have to say, you know, that's a great point. When Wisconsin offers a running back, it usually is one of those things, like, just to me, it kind of carries with it a little bit of weight. They're so successful when it comes to their running back recruiting that, you know, they are right now, they seem to be like all chips pushed in the middle trying to get Haney's attention. So it's really, really interesting when you think about it that way, because just there have been some huge running backs that have come through Madison, and they're trying to recruit one out of state of Nebraska this year. So I don't know, maybe this is a 2 running back year for the Huskers. Who knows? I mean, you just kind of have to see how that kind of room kind of works out too. But I think that there's, you know, 4 or 5 guys that Nebraska's really in on. But I think it starts with Noah Roberts, and Kylon Haney and Bala are on that list as well.
One last one for you, Brian. We'll move up a year here to the 2026 class. A couple guys already committed to Nebraska. Your last couple 5 good minutes have been spent with wide receiver commits in Nalen Scott and then Larry Miles. What do you like about what you heard from your conversations with those two young men?
Oh, I think with Miles, thinking back to that conversation a little bit, he's a confident dude. And I think that, you know, when you start talking about a guy that's just trying to go out there and doesn't need like big changes to his game and just kind of goes through all the, he's going through all the things. Like when it comes to training a wide receiver, they have to go out and perfect their craft. And I don't think that he even like considered that to be part of the deal anymore. He wanted to try to find out a way to kind of raise his football intelligence. So he went to work and tried to figure out like how to do, like how to get his football intelligence a little bit higher, how to kind of incorporate that into his game a little bit this summer. So I felt like that said a lot for me about like his maturity and what he's kind of looking at and how he wants to take a step forward. But with Scott, you know, what's interesting with him is that he's a bigger dude. He's a big dude. I think that people kind of automatically just say this is the kind of guy that's going to be like a red zone target. You know, he's a 50-50 jump ball guy. He's a guy that's going to go up there and go get it. You know, he can fight for it. He's got good body control and everything like that too. But I think where things get missed with him is that his top end speed gets misjudged. He is faster than what you think he would be, and he's a terrific route runner. I think that he could actually play like slot and just go to work on some sort of a nickel and just make it a super long day for that dude. Scott to me is a big physical guy. But you don't want to like paint him into a corner and just say, that's going to be your space. You're just going to be my big X guy. I think he's actually an X. I think he can play Z. I think he would be really interesting at slot too. I'd like to see him play there a little bit.
How much does that duo of Scott and Miles maybe remind you of what Nebraska currently has in the slot this year with Ja'Cory Barney Jr. and Janiron Bonner?
That's probably a really good comparison. I think that Scott's a guy that you, in a pinch, you know, you could probably say that, hey, we're going to play some hybrid Y with you a little bit and flex you out a little bit. And Bonner's kind of a jack of all trades. He's got a big frame on him. He's really talented, you know, and he can kind of do all the things for you, even like run the football if you really needed him to. I think that that's probably a really good comparison because Barney and Miles, there's some big time similarities there. I mean, they are both very explosive individuals. I think that they will use them basically the same way. And after having watched a couple of games from like last season, you really forgot about how like vital the end around was and all the little runs that you could kind of give, you know, to Barney, like in the Boston College game. That was a huge kind of a play to kind of keep the defense like on their heels a little bit. So it's going to be part of the offense kind of like moving forward under Dana. So I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think they're very similar players.
Brian Munch, Nebraska Online, our guest on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. Brian, as always, appreciate your time. Happy game week. Enjoy it. Stay cool as you can, and we'll talk again next week.
You bet. Take care. We'll talk next week.
Once again, that's Brian Munch, Nebraska Online, joining us here on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. Brian is my go-to for everything Husker football recruiting. I highly suggest he become yours as well. We'll go to break, bring Jay Foreman back in, put a bow on hour one of Old School. 2 hours yet to go after this.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back in. It's Old School. Austin Norman, Jay Foreman with you. Big thanks to Brian Munson of Husker Online for stopping by, chatting some recruiting with us here on the show. Jay, real briefly here in just a couple minutes before we get to the top of hour two of Old School. Haven't had a chance to talk about this yet. Bulls announced they will be retiring Derrick Rose's jersey number. What do you think about that?
I like it.
You're with it?
Local legend. MVP. And as great as he was as a player, he's an even better dude. He represents Chicago through and through. You know, I hate it, you know, obviously for him that he wasn't able to kind of, you know, play to his potential. You know, obviously a couple of devastating injuries and bad timing of the injuries more than anything. Mm-hmm. I like it, though. And I think also in this post-Jordan era, I mean, who else would you?
Luol Deng. Joakim Noah?
Yeah. Didn't he fall out with the Bulls?
I mean, probably.
Yeah.
Taj Gibson? Kirk Heinrich?
No. But I like Kirk Heinrich, though. I liked him with the Bulls, especially when he wore the glasses. Or the
Zach LaVine?
He had a chance.
He did.
He did.
He had a real chance. I said that jokingly, but he had a chance.
He had a chance and punted.
Yeah.
He had a chance. Jimmy Butler had a bigger chance.
True.
And he just, Jimmy Butler, it's just a matter of time before he's out of Golden State.
Yeah. How long? Like midseason this year? You think he wears that as welcome?
If they start losing. He's just a guy that, which is weird, and this is where you always just, when somebody gets some success, right? Well, I was say like financially or in this day and age, social media wise, which is all the same because they're getting paid off of it. It just shows you exactly who they really are.
Yeah.
Like you can fake it all you want. To a point. Sooner or later, people will see what's going on. And nobody's perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect or you. I'm not, you know, nobody's perfect. But the ball of wax, you'll see it. You'll start to hear. Mm-hmm. You could do the other two things. One, just watch them for a while or just listen to what they do. Jimmy Butler, you're able to do both. There's not one place he's been that he has not left a sour taste in his team in the locker room's mouth.
Maybe Marquette.
But he wasn't Jimmy. He hadn't made it yet. Mm. Remember what I said. When people make it, they will show you actually who they are or who they really are and how they deal with success. Mm. No, again.
Chicago, Philly, Minnesota, Miami.
Yeah. Wherever. Where has he ever left a good feeling as far as with that organization?
So far, he's 0-4.
And look, in you know, sometimes the organization could be at fault too. But where have you been?
At some point, there's a common denominator.
Yeah. It's Jimmy.
So far.
Yeah. So, but, you know, but he had a chance, though. He had the great story. He had the great opportunity. That fell apart. Zach LaVine was at, but Derrick Rose was the only one that was able to. And Derrick Rose probably had a bigger gripe than both of them. You know, brought him back a little bit too early. Really didn't have his back when he got injured. Really didn't go to bat for him. You know, didn't do the thing. All right, we're just going to hold you out for a full year. You know, I think that, you know, but nevertheless, he has a ton of respect throughout the league, both as a player, as a person. So congrats to him.
Congrats to Derrick Rose. I'm sure we'll talk about it as the day draws near with his jersey retirement in Chicago. When we get back, more college football, some financials to go over, some depth charts, some comments from the coordinators, all that ahead during hour two of Old School.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1-cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.